You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Wednesday afternoon. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. As always, this is Locked On Badgers, the show that brings you all things Wisconsin basketball and football. Back today, as Ben was flying solo yesterday and talking you off the cliff when it comes to Graham Mertz, we are going to be a little bit more talking off the cliff style today as we get into what would make us confident in Wisconsin football after week two, following that week one loss, because it's a weird situation that the Badgers are in week two. They're playing Eastern Michigan at home. It's a game you should win by multiple touchdowns. It's a game that probably won't be close no matter how well or badly the Badgers play. It likely won't come down to the fourth quarter, to a possession or two. So what will make us confident? We'll talk about all that and more on today's show. Make sure you follow us at Locked On Badgers on Twitter, at ALOW_33, at Ben Z Kenny on Twitter for all the updates on the show, guests, scheduling, all that good stuff. Make sure you hit that follow button on Spotify. Make sure you subscribe on Apple. Please drop a review if you're on Apple. Drop a 5-star review. Help out the podcast. Get us circling on the Apple waves. Drop a review. Drop a review. Scroll down right now. It takes like 2 seconds. Please drop a review if you're listening on Apple. Ben, let's get into why Wisconsin struggled in week one, but even more importantly, how they can turn that around and make us confident heading in to the Notre Dame game following this Eastern Michigan clash.
Asher, you're burying the lead. How's the house? Or the apartment, I should say.
Oh, yeah. I got a new apartment. Yeah, I'm moving in to a new apartment in Los Angeles. I haven't moved in quite yet. I got to order my bed. I got to get that delivered today. The bed's going to be there. And then we're going to be all set. We're going to have a little podcast studio set up, hopefully, in my closet, in one of the closets there. And we're going to be living like a young adult in L.A. And like a young broke adult in L.A. We'll be vibing.
Dude, I also ran a poll after yesterday's episode on Locked On Badgers, the Twitter account. I said, after Saturday's loss and listening to me talk about why I'm not concerned, are you still concerned about this Badger team? Asher, 55% still said yes.
Interesting.
The week one overreaction or I'll call it a reaction. I'm not going to say it's an overreaction because it was bad, but the week one intense reaction has been significant, like throughout the Badger fan base. We just need to bring everyone back to level par right now.
I wonder what it would have been like if Wisconsin had won that game in the end, because it wouldn't have changed that much. Like it probably would have, one play would have gone differently, I guess. Two plays would have gone differently at the end of the game. It wouldn't have changed much about the performance, but it's obviously interesting how much bias people can have towards if you won the game or lost the game, instead of evaluating necessarily how you played in that game or circumstances around that game moving forward. Really, a win and a loss can create so much wild swings in terms of how people react to individual games, especially in a season, Ben, that is 12 games long. It's a really short season.
And when you play your toughest game on week one, like that's not who the Wisconsin Badgers are. Part of the troubles, maybe, but that's not who the team is going to be all year. They played a damn good team and they lost and it sucks, but they outplayed them in every way. And that's why I've laid out. I think you get this tune-up game this weekend against Eastern Michigan. You get a bye week. You get a Notre Dame defense that isn't great. Like we saw Florida State have success against them. And I think these next couple of weeks will be able to tune up Mertz and tune up the offensive line to actually have success when they face the Iowas of the world.
So how do you go into an Eastern Michigan game as a fan and come out of it with a take, any reasonable take? Because it's kind of difficult to do when you're 31-point favorites. You just lost to a really good team. You're obviously extra motivated to come in and destroy a team that you should beat handedly. How do you judge this kind of week?
Well, I'm already mad because for some reason recently, Wisconsin and all the schedule makers have put the night games as the out-of-conference absolute cupcakes. Yeah. So that makes me mad. I want to see Wisconsin play Notre Dame at night. I want to see them play Iowa at night. But no, we get freaking Eastern Michigan. So that is a take I will have, and I already have it.
And you know Paul Chryst hates night games, so I'm sure that that's not necessarily an accident that they don't play – their best opponents at night. That's been a long-standing thing for Wisconsin. Chryst notoriously loves the morning games, loves getting up, getting ready, and getting after it. There was a there was a game last season, and of course I'm bringing up UCLA this fast because they are ranked ahead of Wisconsin, so you're a real program. There was a UCLA game last season, Ben, that started at 7 a.m. Pacific. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember it.
Rescheduled Sunday game.
Asher, I'm mad because Chip Kelly's finding success, but let's talk about a little bit less infuriating topic.
This is less infuriating to you?
No, let's talk about a little. No, Chip Kelly finding success is more infuriating than Tyler Beach struggling to block somebody.
Okay. Okay. It's not that far off, though. I'll put it that way. It's not that far off.
No, it's not.
So overall, what are you looking towards in terms of a checklist for success for Saturday? What are the things you can check a box off and kind of quantitatively assess about this team moving forward after week two?
So the obvious is improvement. And I don't really care how much they win by. I don't really care if they win by 40 or if they win by 20 or what the final score says. I don't really even care what the box score says. I need to see on the field a couple key things, and it was all things that were significant problems against a good Penn State defense. Number one, the offensive line needs to show up from the opening snap. I'm talking about in pass protection, mainly at the tackle spot with Tyler Beach and Logan Bruss. They struggled, but also run blocking in the red zone, super key, like they were missing assignments and it hurt them. The offensive line is first and foremost the most important, because you're talking about a trickle down here where the other things I'm about to name probably won't be able to happen if they struggle like they did.
I think, though, the offensive line, and yes, it's the position I'm watching probably equally with quarterback in terms of what I'm watching most for in week two, but against an opponent like Eastern Michigan, that's the hardest group to judge to me, because that's where when you line up a team like an Eastern Michigan, and no disrespect to them, against a team like Wisconsin in the Big Ten. They recruit at different levels, man. Like, they're just different resources. It's not a fair fight heading into it. And one of the biggest reasons it's not a fair fight is because of pure size and strength that Wisconsin has at almost every position. But size and strength doesn't matter as much at other positions as it does at offensive line. But that is when you are that much bigger than a team in the trenches, good luck.
Yeah, it's true, but still, after, like, this is supposed to be a unit that is one of the best on the offense, and like it was one of the best coming in that the team had. So they will find success. I need to see it happen. But you're right. Like, the measuring stick is not the same. We're not going to come back and say the offensive line 200% back just because they beat up on Eastern Michigan. But I need to see it happen after we saw them put the offense in pretty tough spots all game long on Saturday.
I wouldn't be mad if they beat up on Eastern Michigan. I'm just saying that's probably the hardest position for me to have solidified takeaways about post game.
I kind of disagree with that, but maybe not unit wide, but I'm looking at how Tyler Beach looks, because he looked a step slow against Penn State. And even though he's not going to face the edge rushers that Penn State had, like I still need to see him return to last year's form.
Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts you in control and winning within complete reach. You write the rules. Stat Hero shows you their lineup. It's like daily fantasy, like a FanDuel, like a DraftKings, whatever, except instead of playing against all these pros, you're literally playing against Stat Hero. You're playing against a lineup that the computer creates that you can see pregame. You know what you have to beat. It's right there in front of you. It's a head-to-head, one-on-one daily fantasy matchup, and winner takes all. You name your stakes. You have the advantage. Stat Hero shows you their lineups ahead of time, and you can even set the odds. Play Stat Hero right now. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. Right now, you get 3x back on your first play, a 300% match on your first play. Stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free.
This episode is also brought to you by betonline.ag. Asher, college football is underway, which means it's Heisman hype season. And I'm going to read a couple random names off this Heisman leaderboard and their odds. Picks I might like, picks I might not like, but Bryce Young at Alabama, quarterback after lighting it up, he's up at the top of the charts. You have Spencer Rattler, DJ Uiagalelei up there, Matt Corral, Brian Robinson of Alabama. You have Jack Cohn of Notre Dame. There are a lot of good pickup picks there on the Heisman leaderboard that I like. Jack Cohn plus 5,000. But you can go to Bet Online and find those odds. You get all of your updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. Go to the website right now or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive an 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is up from 50%. Use promo code LOCKEDON for that. Also, final super promo up on Bet Online as you make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, season opener between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded to you up to $25. That is for new customers when you sign up using promo code NFL100. So NFL100, you get your $25 bet back if your bet loses on Thursday, or promo code LOCKEDON for 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit, or both.
Back to Wisconsin and Eastern Michigan as we try to break this one down in terms of what we're looking at for the Badgers, how we can take things away both positively and negatively against an opponent like an Eastern Michigan in week two. I think that Wisconsin's run game will look phenomenal, Ben. If you want a funny kind of prediction here, I think there's a chance that this happens. There's a chance that Mertz plays well, right? Wisconsin's in control of the game. Say it's like early fourth quarter. Mertz plays fine. Wisconsin's up, I don't know, 27, 30 points, early fourth quarter. Chase Wolf comes in, leads a quick touchdown drive, and then everybody starts going nuts on Twitter. Admit Twitter would be in flames.
Twitter would go crazy, Asher, but then I would just find the clips of last season when Mertz was hurt and they would put Chase Wolf in for – unbeknownst to me, I don't understand why, for the long deep ball in double coverage to their fifth best wide receiver. I don't know if it was Joe Rudolph. I don't know if it was Paul Christ, but good God, were those head scratchers. It happened against Wake Forest, and it happened another time.
Also, isn't arm strength like one of Mertz's strengths?
Yes, but that was the shoulder.
That's why.
I did question that. It makes sense, though.
That does make sense, but that still kind of shows you how significant that shoulder was last year. If they don't even trust him to throw the ball 40 yards, I wonder if they're still worried about that a little bit because they don't want him to air it out for whatever reason.
So that's what I want to get into, because first and foremost, everybody is going to have a microscope on Graham Mertz. That's clear after what we saw. He turned the ball over a couple times. One of them might not have been his fault, but turnovers plagued the team. Mertz struggled in a lot of facets of the game. Did the offensive line help him? No. But still, he wasn't good. It wasn't the step forward we need. I need, against this Eastern Michigan defense, to see Mertz get significantly better going through his reads. I need his accuracy to be there, because that missed ball to Chimera Dike, like, that would have won the game. But he couldn't deliver an accurate football. And turnovers. I need to see him take a step forward in every category. But what I need to see Paul Christ do, and Mertz as well, they have to start testing the boundaries. The offensive game plan against Penn State, and understandably so, because the offensive line didn't give much time to throw, but it was attack the middle of the field, try to get the ball out fast if you can. There weren't many shots, and there weren't many boundary throws. I need to see this offense and its dimensions expand, because they're not going to be able to beat.
It starts with protection, right? If you want to take shots, it starts with protection, because I don't think
some of those aren't even shots. No, but some of those aren't even shots. Some of those are the same depth of target that we saw maybe going over the middle. I'm talking about testing boundaries and actually letting Mertz expand his game, because he needs to be better in every facet. But I think the offensive game plan against what the defense tries has to be better too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was all three things. And because this is football and it's sports, the quarterback gets the blame. Usually,
yeah, but they're all
of the three elements. Exactly. Of the three elements, offensive line, game planning, and quarterback, all three were very poor against Penn State. I don't think offensive game planning was as poor as maybe you think it was, but it was still not to where it could have been. The other two were clearly poor in every single way. Easy to see. All game, never really changed. They struggled for four quarters. And like I said, it's natural that in this sport, the quarterback takes the most blame. I don't think it's surprising.
And relating to last week, I will take nothing short of touchdowns every single time this team gets within the 10-yard line. Every time. Like this can't be this team can't win football games if they're settling for field goals, and they part of it was the O-line, but they can't push the other team off the ball. Like they couldn't score touchdowns. And that's usually a staple short yardage for this team and this program. I will take nothing less than a touchdown every time they are within the 10.
It was a staple with NFL fullbacks and Jonathan Taylor. I don't know if it's been a staple recently. It wasn't a staple last year, man. Like that was one of the biggest struggles last year.
It was one of their biggest struggles by far.
Like it's last year was a disaster 10 yards in.
Yes, awful. And part of that was Mertz really struggling. But still, it's like when this team it's easy math, 7 versus 3. But still, when this team is winning football games, they're finishing all of those drives.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. In fact, most teams that are winning football games finish those types of drives. It's probably, like you said, the math, one of the most important equations you can have in college football. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. 9 delicious flavors. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for absolutely everyone. And you can get a mixed box right now where you get 2 of each of those 9 flavors in it. Every bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams net carbs, all tasty, all healthy. Order today, get that raspberry mint brownie, get that mixed box. So you get all of it at BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15.
So, Asher, where do you stand? Are you heavily concerned after what we saw on Saturday about where this team is, say, compared to our predictions before week 1?
No. In fact, this is one of my bold predictions before week 1 happened. I said it on the bold prediction show, and I was pretty serious about it. But I think there was a good – we both picked, first of all, Penn State to cover in this game. We both picked Wisconsin to win very slim. And I think we both knew it was going to come down to one possession. It did come down to one possession. And Penn State won it.
Like 8 times.
Like four different one possessions.
Yeah.
And Penn State ended up winning it. Am I concerned? Not really, because everything's in front of Wisconsin schedule-wise. I don't see another auto loss on the schedule. If you had, say, an Ohio State on this schedule, all of a sudden it gets way more concerning. Because then you're looking at what's basically an auto loss, and you're looking at 2 losses, and then you're trying to catch up to Iowa, a team that looked phenomenal in week 1. And we'll talk about that more on Thursday's show as we get into kind of overall takeaways, if things change from week 1 and beyond for the Big Ten as a whole. But from a Wisconsin perspective specifically, I am not overly concerned. I think that the offensive line can't get worse and won't get worse. I think we'll see some improvements right away at the offensive line positions. I think a lot of that was limited practice time. For a guy like Beach, it was limited practice time and limited reps in the summer and leading into the year. I think that Graham Mertz may not be a world beater at any time this year. I don't think he will be, but I think he can be game manager-y enough. And that's a positive word, not a negative word. He can be game manager-y enough to take care of the ball, to get the ball to the running backs, because I think this running attack is going to be awesome all year long. And I think that you saw that even without Jalen Berger playing, that 1-2 of Malusi and Garendo looked really good, good. His speed is scary and it's special, and it's going to help Wisconsin a lot with a change of pace at running back. But I think that running game will continue to ball out as the offensive line gets better. It'll all work harmoniously. And the defense, obviously, up front, the linebackers are awesome. As we know, Chanel will come back, make that linebacking group even better. But the secondary, yeah, it was an issue. I think that, like I said earlier this week, Penn State's wide receivers are the best wide receivers Wisconsin will see all year. So,
Asher, my argument was that the defense and the secondary wasn't an issue. I called it a positive because where they failed is they had 3 significant coverage busts, which were inexcusable and ended up giving Penn State the points they needed. But what made me confident, and this is putting the loss aside, is that Fayon Hicks and Caesar Williams did run with Dotson and Washington all game. The only time Wisconsin failed is when they had a complete lapse in coverage. And that, I think, is fixed with more experience together. Scott Nelson hopefully taking an Eric Burrell-like leadership role as he plays more as the primary guy. And as they play more together, once they play Eastern Michigan and have the bye week, hopefully that never happens.
No, I see what you're saying there, because it's not like Jahan Dotson was a better football player than Fayon Hicks. It's not like he outplayed him in terms of a one-on-one matchup. Hicks can't guard him. can't stay in front, whatever. When the ball's in the air, Dotson's winning it. That wasn't what it was like at all. You're right. It was about three huge errors that I'm sure on tape, Jim Leonard will know in about a half a second whose fault it was. And in another half a second, he'll know how to fix it and how to communicate that fix. So yeah, sure, a lapse can happen. A lapse will probably happen again this year, multiple times. But yeah, those were massive, massive systematic errors and not individual, your player is better than our player issues. And
like which I said, see is positive because Jahan Dotson is one of the best receivers in the conference.
And I think the best receiver Wisconsin sees probably all year on the regular season schedule, at least. Moving forward, I'm not overly concerned, but we'll get into it. We'll talk more about week two. We'll talk more about the Big Ten as a whole, and we'll get into a little basketball scheduling. I get to talk about it a little bit, just like 5 minutes of it. Indulge me, please. On Thursday's episode, as always, on Wisconsin. We'll be back on Thursday.